You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Because he's the man of the moment.
Who?
Sheedy.
Okay. Kevin.
Yeah, see if he'll
Kevin
get in.
Sheedy. Oh, okay. Not Jack Sheedy, Kevin.
Jack Shit, Don.
No.
You
don't know who Jack Sheedy is, do you?
You speak Jack Shit.
No, he was a very good player in Western Australia.
Why I know who he was. What?
Why are we getting him on?
He's in the news, mate. They're trying to resurrect Essendon, and Dean Wallace has come out and said people are on drugs and taking coke and rooting everyone and... didn't he say that? I don't know what he said. I only saw that in the tissues.
Where are the tissues?
In the papers, yeah.
Oh, give him a ring.
Tell me if you think this is humorous. This just came to me, Don. This dyslexic person walks into a bra.
What?
This dyslexic person walks into a bra. You know, that's...
I understand.
Do you think that's humorous? No. All right. You know, you have they say this Irishman walks into a pub. So this dyslexic person walks into a bra. Yes. Anyhow, that's all right. Now, so this is sport. So this is sport. Now, I wanted to, this is being fair. I see the AFL have been accused of paying lip service to I don't know what, but
aggravated assault.
No, Degoe. What's his first name? Brent? No.
Jordan Degoe.
Jordan Degoe, who has had a little off-street controversy, off-field controversy, has now played a game recently, and the AFL have been accused of paying lip service to sexual or something, and they've honed in on Gil McLachlan saying his legacy is... Can you believe this? What has Gil McLachlan got to do with allowing Jordan Degoe to play football again, that someone gets up in the arms? It's like this cancel culture of pinging him and the AFL
Sydney,
about...
You've also got the Sydney Swans player too, who's in a little bit of trouble.
So
was charged over the weekend.
So what has that... Gil McLachlan...
There's a lot of talk because the NRL, they suspend the player, although he's on full pay, if the same situation does arise. Now, in business, it's done exactly the same. They suspend the employee, although he still continues to get his wage and until the case is resolved. So what the critics are saying is that the AFL should follow suit, suspend the players, although they are still being paid until the court case or the cases...
The problem is that could take years, Don, particularly at the moment.
Well... This is what they're... So that you've got two bodies of thought. You've got the NFL, the NRL,
yes,
who are directly different to what the AFL
so
is.
And
so the critics are saying the AFL, innocent until proven guilty.
That's correct. So are you saying the AFL should preempt what... anyone, let alone Jordan Degoe, is going to be charged with? Or are you saying that they should take the law into their hands?
The conjecture is you've got society who says one thing, or the community who says one thing as far as business goes. If it happened in business, this is what they're doing now. You've got the NRL who are following the business model, which is suspending the player until the case is... proven, a verdict is given, and you've got the AFL who are doing the exact opposite, innocent until proven guilty.
I don't think it's quite the same. I'm happy for you to argue this. I don't think this is quite the same, because if you have an employee who has transgressed and he's working for, say, the Acme Balloon Company, right, and people say, well, we're not going to buy Acme balloons because that bloke's working for you, or that person's working for you. That is not quite the same as... the AFL running a football competition and someone who plays in that competition saying they've transgressed out in the domestic world, but people are not going to stop going to the football because the AFL...
The situation, we could reverse the situation with you. Now, you're a classic. You're employed by Channel 9 and they rang up and they said, because of your views on Black Lives Matter and George Floyd, said, well, you know, they had a problem with advertising, you said, well, I will resign if that resolves the matter.
Yes.
So what is the difference? Why wouldn't Channel 9 just suspend you and keep paying you?
Yeah. That was activated by
doesn't matter how it was activated.
Hypocritical windbag.
It doesn't matter how it was activated. The same situation applies, and it applied to you.
No.
You should have been suspended on full pay because you were doing segments for the Sunday show.
I shouldn't have been suspended by Channel 9. I'm employed, like anyone in this medium, to give an opinion. It's when you have activists and people who are...
Activists are working in the community with regard to
people who have an axe to grind, like people like Caroline Wilson,
please,
who...
No, Johnny.
Is about the most hypocritical person that could give anyone advice on anything.
Let's get back to the NRL, AFL, whatever else we've gone... And I just use you as an example.
Okay, so I'm happy for you to use me, whatever you like. So you're now saying that Gil McLaughlin...
I'm sitting on the fence.
Well, we don't want you to sit on the fence.
No, because...
I don't sit on the fence.
Okay, well, that's good on you. But there's a community perception. There's what the NRL are doing. And what's the AFL
Don.
Who's right and who's wrong?
Well, let me ask you the question. Gil McLaughlin is now being accused by pressure groups and activists who say his legacy will be tarnished if he allows Jordan De Goey to play AFL football. I think that's right, isn't it?
Yep.
Are you saying that is reasonable for that to be sheeted home to Gil McLaughlin? I mean, seriously, Don, how many people who... various clubs have people lose their license for drink driving, do other things out in the community which never sees the light of day, but because the focal point is the AFL, every small discretion gets sheeted home to the hierarchy of the AFL and they think, oh, we've got to take action on every single thing that goes on.
It's not just that. It's the way that they also now name the sponsors. So the pressure,
NAB
think of this? And then they said in the same article, they said, and what about Collingwood? What about CGU and Latrobe Finance? It's like, oh, come off it. Like they're actually trying to cancel culture.
They are trying to cancel culture, people, which has nothing directly at all to do with the AFL.
I believe that you are innocent until proven guilty.
Well, but that's what we're saying. But you're saying...
I've just got an appreciation for other views as well. That is my view, but I've got an appreciation of the community and the NRL. You said you were going to sit on the fence a minute ago.
You said you were going to sit on the fence. You didn't have an opinion a minute ago.
Well, you've pushed me.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad I've pulled some strings in your body.
That guy said yes, he's coming in.
Who?
Sheedy. Did we mention Sheedy, didn't we?
No, but he's coming
in. I said he's been in the news. Ring him up.
Okay, he's coming in.
He's not a bullshit. He's decided to come in, as I bet he's not.
He was gardening. He was gardening. He's coming in. Oh, sorry.
I wanted to talk to him about Len Smith's golden rules.
Well, you can when he gets in.
Len Smith. You wouldn't know who Len Smith was, would you?
Oh, no, I've never heard of him. What? I wouldn't know who Len Smith is. Are you serious? Norm Smith's brother? Were you serious?
Yeah. Well...
I was playing football when Norm Smith was coaching Melbourne.
Norm Smith? Len Smith?
Did Norm Smith coach Melbourne?
Yes, but his brother... I'm talking about his brother,
Len. I know. You said I don't know who he is. I said he's Norm Smith's brother.
You surprise me sometimes.
What? Because
Can I ask you something? Yes, it's about football. And it's about ruck play. I went away last week, Bill Brownless, when he was on, asked a question about ruck play.
Yes.
You remember? Or he asked about the relationship between Matthews, Scott and Tuck. And I just glossed over it. And I thought you really should tell people what the ruck position is really like and what ruckmen do. I just said, you know, I didn't know where I was going to hit the ball. But there's a lot more in ruck play. What are you looking at?
You speaking to me?
No, I'm speaking to the boat behind you, you idiot. that mock boat.
So you should have asked Bill Brownless this.
The plastic bottle beside
you. You should have asked Brownless this and then...
No, I should have explained about ruck play a little bit better, and I think we should explain...
Well, you explain.
Well...
Off you go. This is Don's version of ruck play.
Well, just because he thought, what three players
Pardon?
Playing in the ruck. Did you have a designated person you hit the ball to as a ruckman?
Yes. You called the rover.
Well, good. And how would you know which way the ball was going to bounce, where the rover was going, and what the opponent was going to do to you in the process of getting the ball to your rover?
Because we had two options, Don. If it bounced that way, we would push it to a predetermined spot, and if it bounced a different way, we'd bounce it out. And because the ball never bounces out or over your head, it always bounces to the left or right.
And away from you.
That's right, to the left or right.
I understand all of those things.
Umpire's never going to bounce it into his head.
And what happens if your rover's opponent happens to get the ball and the rover's not there? Which he was, your rover wasn't in position on a number of occasions, and you just chastised him.
Don, playing in the ruck and hitting the ball to someone is not a precise art. If you can anticipate and hit the ball to someone in the same coloured jumper 70% right. of the time, that is a huge advantage.
Exactly.
Now, I used to say to my rover, I'd say, this is where I'm going to anticipate I hit the ball, depending on which way it bounces. Don't be there at the start. Be completely at some different position, but be there at the time I hit
Who
the ball.
Who are we talking about?
Maybe many rovers.
Ian Nankervis, maybe Ian Nankervis.
Yeah.
Well, there's many.
Didn't matter.
Yeah. Didn't matter who.
No.
But what we did at Hawthorne was that we had man on man because we did not know where the ball was going. I didn't know where I was going to hit the ball.
That's true.
And
sounds like they had no faith in you, Tom.
You didn't know where you were going to hit the ball. You just huffed and got back 30 yards and steamed in with that, and up you went, bang, you took people's heads and arms and legs and knees and you belted them and you went...
You're also, as a ruckman, worried about your own preservation because people were out to hurt you.
Of course they were.
Exactly. So you had to protect yourself. Yeah. So in order to put the ball, I defy anybody to actually put it to the rover. And if it does happen to go to the rover, you're very, very lucky.
But that's why you have options, Don.
Well, that's right. So it goes to many players who are around the vicinity.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It doesn't because the centreman is usually on the centreman. The on-baller...
But you can still hit it to the centreman.
You could, but what's the point of having a plan to someone who's a designated rover to your hit-outs if you don't have two options of where to hit the ball?
You've got three or four options.
All right, well, that's just how I did it, right? Mm. And I was in the team of the century of Geelong for being a ruckman.
In the back pocket. That's
right, and when Polly Farmer decided that he'd had enough, I'd take over from him. And I'd be very happy to play second fiddle to Graham Farmer.
And you blossomed.
Not second fiddle to anyone else.
You blossomed when he went in state games.
Yeah,
I did. You became number one
of
ruckman.
Of course. Because
you blossomed.
Of course I did, Donald, because the onus...
responsibility.
The onus was on me to perform.
Poor Ian Hampshire never realised his full potential because of you.
That is probably right, Donald. So,
and Chris Mitchell.
So... Yeah, so go on. Now get on to it. Well, you were going to explain why you
should
have...
Well, I just think we should tell people, you know, and I...
Tell people what? That you didn't know where you were going to hit the ball?
No,
you just said that.
Just tell it exactly about ruck play because it hasn't... It was a science it was an art.
I'll get him on the phone.
No,
have a chat to him about it now.
No, please.
So don't.
And I just happened to watch the ruckman. The AFL haven't cleaned up the boundary line work where they both wrestle and hold one another.
No.
It's just an absolute...
It is, and this might be in... I was nearly going to say it might be in someone's blueprint. No, so wouldn't I don't know who... So dear, nearly put my... So Damien Barrett, who is... He's a friend of ours, isn't he?
Damien, yeah.
And they do
What's wrong with him?
Nothing, Don. And they do a podcast. He does it with Craig Hutchison.
Does he?
Doesn't he?
Yep.
It's called...
Sounding Board.
Sounding Board. Damien Barrett. He was not accused. I think he was singled out, maybe a bit of a hyperbole, that he was told to have a confidentiality clause. He's up in the hub up there as a correspondent for the AFL up in Queensland. He was told that they have to sign a confidentiality agreement not to speak about anything that goes on in the hub. And I said, you are joking.
What are you talking?
Why
has he gone up there?
He's gone up there to oversee the game and report on it.
Which is the hub.
And they have to sign the media have to sign a confidentiality agreement saying they won't speak about anything that goes on in the hub so that it's not gossip related. And I rang Damien and I said, surely that's not right. He said, no, that's not right.
Oh.
Why
would you bring it up?
Well, because I'll tell you why I bring it up, because the popular perception is that the AFL have told people not to speak about what goes on in the hub. That might be to a degree correct, but you don't want players being muzzled and being told not to do things or being wary of doing things if they're going to be reported as salacious comment by the media. So they said, why don't we just say that we are in here internally, and we're not going to speak about anything that goes on, so there's no ructions for anyone back home. Do you understand that?
I don't understand why you even brought it up.
Well, because it sounded like the AFL.
Where did you hear this?
I heard this. It was in the news. It was in the news, the media. It sounded like the AFL had put a clamp on people speaking about what goes on in the hub. They had to a degree, but it was only for the protection of the players who don't want all this salacious gossip going on down south about what they're doing and interfering unnecessarily with their activities and life up in a hub.
Did you go to the Olympic Games in 2000?
Moving right along, Don.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you watch Cathy Freeman?
I did.
You were there that night.
I hope I speak clearly.
Well, I wasn't. I watched it on TV, but I saw the documentary last Sunday night.
Do you know, I asked Cathy Freeman to come in here a couple of weeks ago, and she said, she didn't say she wouldn't come in, but she said she's embargoed because they're doing a doco on her, which you've just seen, have they?
It was a sensational
doco,
and I've got nothing but admiration for that girl.
Of course.
I mean,
when was the anniversary? Twentieth anniversary.
Is it this week?
No,
yeah, it was on last Sunday. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I know it was on last Sunday, but the Olympics were on 20 years ago. This week?
Not this week. They weren't.
Oh, October.
No. What is the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of Cathy Freeman winning the 400 at Sydney? What date?
No, you tell me.
25th of September.
Yeah, but hang on.
All right, whatever. Close enough.
No, it's not close enough. 25th.
But the Olympics were going for about, they were starting about now, the 15th.
I don't care when they were starting. The 25th of September, 20 years ago, she won the medal. That's all I'm saying. That's the anniversary. And I asked her to come in here, speak about it. And she said...
She can now.
It was really quite remarkable.
Of course it was. Yep.
That she started off as a 16-year-old girl. She was in a 4x100 relay in New Zealand, the Commonwealth Games, Auckland. And she was a 200 and 100-metre sprinter and then slowly got out.
Now, I might have got this wrong, Donald, but the current... In 20 years ago, the current champion, the world champion of 400 metres, didn't come out to the games.
She did come out. She did come out.
And she pulled out, did she, with an injury?
She didn't run from 96. She won the world championship. Cathy Freeman came second in the world championships in 96. Yes. And they both ran. Cathy ran a sensational time. I think it was the fastest time she ever ran in the 400 metres, coming second to Perec, the French lady.
And she came out in 2000, did she?
She then didn't run for 4 years. Cathy went on and won, or was just about unbeaten, I think, for 4 years leading up to the Olympics. And then Perec decided to make a comeback.
Yes.
And I don't think she was fit, and the pressure got to her. And I don't know, she didn't even start in a final. She went back to France.
So she came out to Australia and elected not to run against Freeman.
Yes. I don't think she was
fit. She didn't make it.
Physically, she wasn't fit enough.
What would she come out for?
Well, I think she won a trial in France and she was world champion. So I suppose that's why she came out. But she just wasn't capable, physically capable, I think. But it was a sensational race. Watching that, they said it was probably the fastest, when used to run 400s. The fastest last 100 in a
in the spacesuit. Didn't she look fantastic?
Well, to pull that out, there were a number of things. The way
the pressure.
Even she was in the opening ceremony. Now, doing that when your job is to win this particular race days before, to be involved in the ceremony, and then bring out that suit which had never been worn before, and also probably run the fastest 100 metres, the final 100 metres ever,
and the best
in a 400 metre race.
The best special comment ever, Raylene Boyle, when she just said, "What a relief." Everybody knew what she meant. Yeah. You know, it was just, wow.
Mm. No, you just had to take your hat off to the lady. She's just a sensational athlete.
So I think we'll cut Channel 7 some slack for completely giving the program of how the finals will be played. I think they're going to start on a Wednesday. And they're going to start on a Wednesday to capitalise on viewing audience for ratings, seeing as they've had to stump up the money to have this truncated season continue, and the night grand final, which is just purely for ratings again, so we'll cut them some slack for running the program, so they ought to, because they've put the money up, and but it's not going so well in the cricket. I see they've lost $70 million.
Did cricket have?
Well, I think Channel 7 have lost $70 million from their foray into sport this year. So I'm not sure. So my point of us speaking about that is, are you into the Big Bash and all that sort of stuff?
Not the Big Bash at all. I'm slowly warming to one day cricket. I know it's been around for a long time, but I'm a test man. I am a test man. I like the battle over five.
What do you
days.
Think about the six ball over, Don?
No. Yeah. I can't. No, I listen, seriously, I cannot believe.
And
the
news
six
just
ball
in.
Over.
News
no,
just
no,
in.
Oh, your game is set out. Like, and I'd news like to just ask Kevin Sheedy a few things when he does come on too.
If
about
he comes on.
Condition.
And news just come in that the Titanic has sunk, Don. Did you know that? That was just when one day cricket started, just as the Titanic went down under the iceberg. So that's only been going for 90 years, one day cricket. Now, Don, netball, have you? You're a great advocate. What?
Watch it on the weekend.
Yeah, you're going to get this into a mainstream sport if it kills
you.
Well,
I hope so. I hope the women get recognised.
I agree. It's great to watch.
Oh, you've watched it?
Because you've convinced me. I loved it.
Great. Good on you.
Thanks, Tom.
No, well done.
Thanks.
Well, don't laugh. Don't laugh.
Now, here's a question for you, Don. Just give us an opinion. The Australian Open Tennis apparently is in jeopardy because of the virus, and how do the players get out here? I am saying, this is my opinion, there is no point playing the Australian Open out here in Melbourne, Australia, at the Rod Laver and Margaret Court Arenas respectively, if you cannot have a crowd there. This city thrives on one of the great sporting events, and if the crowds can't go to the tennis, we may as well not have it.
Yeah.
What?
Question without notice.
Get your hand off your mouth and speak into the microphone.
I'm doing what the thinker did. Rodin sculpted the thinker, didn't he? Was it Rodin? The thinker. Don't you remember that sculpture?
Yeah, with his, can you
under
wonder?
His fist. Yep. French impressionist.
Yeah,
artist.
That's right. You could be him.
No, he was a sculptor in that time.
So what do you think? That the tennis should be on? If you can't have a crowd, you may as well cancel it.
No, I think you can still have the, and you can do it on television as they did the American game.
I know.
I still found that entertaining, watching them play tennis. You don't have to have a crowd. I don't know how they get, well, I suppose they'll get it through TV, the revenue.
How will they get the players out here? Well, they're not allowed to fly. What about the Boxing Day test? Would you think
they come out and quarantine.
Tom Hanks got in.
Oh, so if
yeah, he did get in, and
if no one could go to the Boxing Day test, would you have that?
Yes, I'd have it.
Would you? In front of no one?
Yes.
Fair enough. That's fair enough, Donald.
Well, I mean, we've got to adapt. It's a TV sport too. You see more on TV than you actually see at the ground.
Just speaking about the COVID implications. Just speaking about the COVID implications of sport and crowds and all that. Did you see this? In Sweden, they're banning In Sweden, they're banning the singing of Happy Birthday. Do you know why?
Is this like coming to sport?
Well, it's about the COVID. It's about the COVID restrictions of why you can't have crowds at sport. And I was just diverting onto. They said you cannot sing in Sweden Happy Birthday because there's too many hard P's and B's and the spittle coming out from Happy Birthday. Google it, please. Google it.
Where was it?
Sweden. They're saying Happy Birthday has been banned from singing because there's too many hard P's and B's because spittle comes out and might infect the people singing Happy Birthday. Can you believe in this? How would you be blowing out the candles? That's gone then if you can't sing Happy Birthday. Read it out, please. Did it say it's right or not? Get back to us, Rod. Rocket Rod here.
Yeah, it's in the mirror.
Read it out, please. Read it out, Rocket.
Hang on. Loading.
Loading.
Did you notice that, you know...
Just when you thought the coronavirus couldn't... Oh, what's happened here?
Come on, Rocket.
Boffins in Sweden have found singing the Happy Birthday song could boffin. Potentially...
That's yeah, just done. Done. Don't
could
stalk over the...
spread the killer virus.
You spoke over him while he was reading it.
And it's all to do with the way we pronounce our B's and P's.
Excuse me, what are boffins?
Oh, boffins are...
You know...
No, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
What was the word from last week?
Ultra crepidarian. Yeah. Boffins are mad professors, intellectuals. Read it out again,
please.
Well,
you got it right.
No, well, he interrupted you.
Boffins in Sweden have found singing the Happy Birthday song could potentially spread the killer virus. It's all to do with the way we pronounce our B's and P's.
Can you believe that, Donald? Where does this start and end? Happy Birthday, and they think that will spread coronavirus. Because... if that spreads it, you've just got it because I sang Happy Birthday.
They haven't actually banned it. It's just boffins have released a study in Sweden.
Aye, that's right, wearing goggles and masks when you have a root. Oh. I mean, it's just a joke, isn't it? It's seriously. What? No, but that's how stupid this has got.
Did you notice the collective minds, the people responsible for the Adelaide Crows camp, are suing two media outlets because they've done... irreparable damage to their image.
Who?
To their image.
Who are the media outlets?
Beg your pardon?
Who are they? Who are the people that they're...
Collective Minds ran the camp.
Yeah, but who are they actually suing, does it say?
Well, two media outlets. I don't know who it is. You might be able to find those. But it's interesting, isn't it, the football club's trying to get the advantage. We could ask Kevin Sheedy this about the Essendon drug saga, how they tried to just get that little...
he might get jumpy about that if he comes
in. The little advantage... and Collective Minds doing their thing with Adelaide, playing...
Well, I'll tell you what, if
the
Kevin...
Mind thing, why don't they just stick to the thing, you know, which are the nuts and bolts, and that's football, and I'll trying to get you, that type of advantage.
Very good, Donald. I'll tell you what, we'll ask Kevin if he comes in.
Well, you said he was coming in.
He said he was, but until he turns up, no one... Okay. Nothing... All right. We will ask him, what did he think of the drugs saga down there, and... is James Heard and Bomber Thompson all is forgiven? Come on back. Would he have them back at the club? All those sort of things.
I'd like to know about Dean Wallace's article too. What he thinks of that?
Yeah,
that was that came.
He mightn't want us to ask him.
Michael Warner from the Sun wrote it.
He mightn't want to ask.
Quite explosive.
Yeah, he mightn't want to ask any of those questions. But Don, you're the intrepid investigator and reporter. You'll ask him. You won't be deterred.
Also, I'd like to know about the Giants. Do you watch the football at all?
They're the most disappointing
team. Jeremy Cameron, the full forward.
You won't ask him.
I won't.
No.
It's a very religious...
I think they had the best list and most exciting talent that I've seen when he started. Okay, wait and see. Wait and see. I think they're a very disappointing side. A lot of talent and no grunt.
Now, here's something you probably wouldn't have known. It's a fairly religious... where are they? At Homebush, are they? Blacktown? Black... where's the Giants?
Western Sydney.
Blackwood. No, Blacktown, isn't it? Blackbush.
Nutbush. Nutbush. Western Sydney.
Someone said that before the lockdown, you'll like this, Rocket. Someone said before they had a convention there was a Bible a convention on this company that marketed Bibles, and they had an all-out push to see who could be the greatest Bible salesman. This is up in Blacktown. They had a big convention, and at the convention they gave out an award for the first, second, and third person who had sold the most Bibles. And the third prize, they were out there, big auditorium full of people, and the bloke announcing it said, "All right," he said, "number three for the most Bibles have been sold in the community is Frank Swanson, who sold 60 Bibles. Frank, come up." And they gave him a little medal. They said second prize went to Bernie Snodgrass, who sold 79 Bibles. And he came up and they gave him his trophy. And the winner, he said, "You won't believe this, the winner has gone to Harry McLaughlin, who sold 850 Bibles." And they said, the crowd went up, they couldn't believe it. So they got Harry up and they said, "Harry, good God, man, how could you sell 850 Bibles when the next best was 75? And he said, well, he said, what I would do is I'd go to the house and I'd knock on the door and I would say, 'Hello, would you like to buy a Bible or would you like me to read it to you?'"
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.